Nemesis by H.P. Lovecraft. Through the ghoul-guarded gateways of slumber, past the wan-mooned abysses of night, I have lived o'er my lives without number. I have sounded all things with my sight, and I struggle and shriek ere the daybreak, being driven to madness with fright. I have whirled with the earth at the dawning, when the sky was a vaporous flame. I have seen the dark universe yawning, where the black planets roll without aim, where they roll in their horror unheeded, without knowledge or luster or name. I had drifted o'er seas without ending, under sinister, grey-clouded skies, that the many-forked lightning is rending, that resound with hysterical cries, with the moans of invisible demons that out of the green waters rise. I have plunged like a deer through the arches of the hoary primordial grove, where the oaks feel the presence that marches and stalks on where no spirit dares rove. And I flee from a thing that surrounds me and leers through dead branches above. I have stumbled by cave-ridden mountains that rise barren and bleak from the plain. I have drunk of the fog-fetid fountains that ooze down to the marsh and the main. And in hot, cursed tarns I have seen things I care not to gaze on again. I have scanned the vast ivy-clad palace. I have trod its untenanted hall, where the moon rising up from the valleys shows the tapestried things on the wall, strange figures discordantly woven that I cannot endure to recall. I have peered from the casements in wonder at the mouldering meadows around, at the many-roofed village laid under the curse of a grave-girdled ground, and from rows of white urn-carven marble I listen intently for sound. I have haunted the tombs of the ages. I have flown on the pinions of fear, where the smoke-belching Erebus rages, where the yokels loom snow-clad and drear, and in realms where the sun of the desert consumes what it never can cheer. I was old when the pharaohs first mounted the jewel-decked throne by the Nile. I was old in those epochs uncounted, when I, and I only, was vile, and man, yet untainted and happy, dwelt in bliss on the far Arctic isle. Oh, great was the sin of my spirit, and great is the reach of its doom. Not the pity of heaven can cheer it, nor can respite be found in the tomb. Down the infinite eons come beating the wings of unmerciful gloom. Through the ghoul-guarded gateways of slumber, past the wan-mooned abysses of night, I have lived all my lives without number. I have sounded all things with my sight, and I struggle and shriek ere the daybreak, being driven to madness with fright. This poem, I guess I should just get it out of the way straight up. This poem scans to the tune of Piano Man. I have been told this means it will also scan to the tune of the Pokemon theme song to be a master. I'm not an expert on this. I don't know if that's actually the case. But this is, in my opinion, one of the best pieces of work Lovecraft ever did. And part of what makes it work so well is that there's very little that you would conventionally consider to be narrative or dialogue or characters or interaction. Basically, this is a poem of nothing but mood. And it's the thing he was kind of the best at. as for what's transpiring in the poem or what the poem is meant to represent, it is a decided jumble of various different things that Lovecraft had opinions on. Things that go into the brickwork of horror for him and that was part of his fascination. There are some interesting details. If there was a single coherent linear narrative through the mind of the voice speaking, it would be a little difficult for it to claim it as all a correct transpired event in one sequence. Instead, what I think is going on in this is that this is someone who has, for some reason, been touched with the madness of knowing the thing that Lovecraft ultimately feared more than anything else, and therefore his mind, and let's face it, it would be a his mind, because that's the kind of writer Lovecraft was, his mind has now been corrupted and fragmented in ways that means that he is unable to tell the difference between himself and the thing that hunts him, which is why the poems at some points talk about places that it should know by name, if it had been ever part of them, but only can reflect on the horrible things there in terms of the artworks others have made referencing them, such as the tapestried things on the wall or the urn carven stone. There is a remote misunderstanding of what the speaker is looking at. They can definitely feel the connection between themselves and time. There's a lot of references throughout the poem to the idea of being horrified at simply the sheer age of the thing that it is, but not without a solid sense of who they are now. Essentially, this feels like a Lovecraftian protagonist has, for some reason or another, briefly touched the mind of one of the great elder things and has, in the process, become unstuck, untethered, and horrifiedly looking at themselves as they lose track of where they end and the memories that are not theirs begin. It is wonderfully creepy. I love some of these phrases, where the black planets roll without aim, where they roll in their horror unheeded, without knowledge or luster or name. There is a lot of stuff in here that sort of like serves as the underpinning of what really scared Lovecraft. Ironically, you could actually do it as the greatest hits of like, hey, what stuff that scared him? Outer space scared him, the ocean scared him, and Egypt scared him because Egypt had black people. The root of much of the horror of Lovecraft, in my reading of the man, is that he was a very limited person who was keenly aware of his limitations, who had been so drunk on privileges that told him that he was the most important thing in the world, that whenever he was shaken out of this and reminded that people other than himself existed and mattered, it literally horrified him. And so the indifference of the ocean and the endless cosmic boundaries of space are both things that scared him beyond measure, as did indeed the understanding of how old things were. As we see in other readings of his, the idea of oldness possessing horror, the notion of ancient evils, and the notion that all of civilization is a sort of a very small circle of light resting on the surface of something vast and terrible, that very much conveys this idea that ultimately he was in some way aware of his own finity, and it was something he found deeply, deeply distressing.